Well, welcome to Crossroads. My name's Lena Schuler, and I'm the Crossroads Anywhere Community Pastor. You may be joining us from anywhere around the country, and we're so glad that you've decided to spend the next hour with us. We're going to be spending some time exploring who God is and what He might mean for your life. And so to start that off, we're going to sing together. And as we sing, these are just prayers put to song. So why don't you join us?
Rejoice because all heaven knows your name. Rejoice that sin is powerless today. Sing hallelujah, what a Savior. Rejoice because He chose to make us king. Rejoice because your life has been redeemed. Rejoice because He lives in you.
good start to the year, right? Yeah. So I think it's important for us to remember, to recognize when it happens. We're a lot of these songs that we sing, I think it's important for us to know where they come from in Scripture. They come right out of the Bible. So many of them, and that one comes right out of this letter from the first century that some of us know as 1 Thessalonians. The writer says this. He says, "Rejoice always, never stop praying, and be thankful in all circumstances." See, what we do when we sing, what we do when we come in this place, what we do for many of us when we wake up, is we make a choice to say, "I will rejoice no matter what I'm seeing right in front of me or what I'm facing. I'll choose to rejoice." Or I'll choose to keep the conversation between you and me going, God, even when I have questions, you know. I'll choose to be thankful in all circumstances. I grew up in and around church. I don't know if you did. And I don't think I can blame this on my church. I think I can blame it on me being young and immature. But I grew up thinking that I was to bring all my stuff, my pain, my hurts, my questions, my doubts, my shame, all of that stuff. I grew up believing I was supposed to bring it all and keep it all out there. Leave it at that door and then come in to meet Jesus. And I just want you to know, that is not the Jesus I know now. That is not the Jesus that I see in Scripture. That is not the Jesus that we've encountered and we've been changed by. The Jesus that we've met and who has changed us is the Jesus who says, "No, you come as you are. You bring all you have and all you are and bring them to me and then make a choice with it." And so, if you're new, I don't want you to be confused. You do not have to have it all figured out to be in this place, right? Yeah. Yeah. We don't come in here to run away from our problems. We come in here with all we have and all we are and run to a Savior, to a King who we believe is with us, powerful, and He's good. At the end of last year, we started to sing a song as a community that talks of these things, that chooses to say, "This is what I will sing no matter the circumstances." And so we're going to start this year picking that back up and saying, "This will be our anthem, God. This will be the song that we sing, that we choose to sing."
There's a table that you prepare.
Well, welcome to Crossroads. If you're joining us for the very first time, you've just stepped into a church who is created for people who have given up on church, but not necessarily on God. So if you're in that place today, if you're just trying to figure out who God is and maybe what he means for you, you're in good company. And we have communities of people all around the country who are gathering to explore who God is and what that might mean for their lives. Because the way that you're gonna get the most out of your relationship with God is if you go on that journey with other people. And so, man, I think we have a picture of a community in Athens, Ohio that's gathering weekly. Check out Molly Bierman and all her friends at Ohio University. Go Bobcats. So maybe you're gathering with other people around the country. We would love to see what your gathering looks like. We'd love to see what community looks like for you in your home, in that coffee shop, in that theater. So be sure to be posting pictures with the hashtag CRDS Anywhere, Kurds Anywhere, because we'd love to give you a shout out and share those pictures with other people around the country. And maybe you wanna connect to other people. Maybe you're going, yes, this is the year I wanna meet other people who are part of my church near me. You can just click on the chat button or email hello@crossroads.net and we'd be happy to help you find people near you to connect with. Well, I know that this year I've decided to start some new healthy habits. I had a baby this last year and got out of some of my normal regular rhythms. And so I, like the rest of America, am getting back into the gym this year. And I don't know what new healthy habits you want this year, but I can guess that a good one that you might be considering is spending more time with God daily. And if that's you, the Crossroads app is a fantastic way to do that. There's a daily challenge in that app where every day it'll guide you through some exercises that maybe take 15 minutes in your morning or your lunch break or before you go to bed to help you spend more time with God and figure out what he might have for you this year. And so you can download the Crossroads app in the App Store or on the Google Play Store and get started with that right now. Well, now is an opportunity if you want to be generous, if you want to join the Crossroads team. You can do that by going to crossroads.net/give. And, you know, we are a community of people who loves to be generous with our time and our resources. And so we'd love for you to join that team this year. Or maybe you're just checking us out for the first time. That is totally cool. No pressure. But we're going to get started with our brand new series, The New Mind. We're so glad you've decided to join us today.
Love's coming back, we can steal it. If we bridge this gap, I can see you through the curtain to the waterfall. When I lost it, you held my hand, but I tossed it. Didn't understand, you were waiting as I dove into the waterfall. So say, Geronimo, say, Geronimo. Crushed it, but it's in the past. We can make this leap through the curtains in the waterfall. So say, Geronimo, say, Geronimo, say, Geronimo, say, Geronimo, say, Geronimo, say, Geronimo, say, Geronimo. Can you feel? So here I stand as a broken man, but I found my friend. Now I'm falling down through the crashing sound, and you come around. And you rush to me, and it sets us free, so I fall to my knees. Say, Geronimo, say, Geronimo. Say, Geronimo, say, Geronimo, say, Geronimo, say, Geronimo.
Well, I know that fewer and fewer of us these days are doing it, but for reality is New Year's resolutions are important. I want to ask you to raise your hand to see who made one and who didn't make one. I just noticed over the years, it seems like there's a growing cynicism towards having New Year's resolutions. It seems like there's a growing discouragement over why do it? It's never going to work anyway. I ran across some tweets that maybe articulate the way some of us feel. Adrian Earhart says, my 2017 resolution is to work on my low self-esteem, but I don't think I can do it. Bucky Isotope says, already broke my New Year's resolution to not cry in a Taco Bell bathroom. That's a bad year right there. Siddharth Singh says, startup idea, a gym named Resolution that runs for the first month of the year, collects subscription fees, then converts to a bar named Regret. Yeah, let me just say, for those of us who are regular at the gym we go to, for those of you who made a new resolution, you've come, we're okay. We're okay with you creating traffic jams behind the machines. You really are. We're just not okay if you do your email sitting on the bench. Amen. Okay, one more. Jen Dahl says, New Year's resolution, try to worry less. Fill that time with, oh gosh, what am I supposed to fill the time with? This is already going terribly. Truth is, I love New Year's resolutions. I love them. I love when a New Year's resolution is made and kept. I love when a New Year's resolution is made and even not kept. Why? It's because the person who makes a resolution is a person who wants more from their life. A person who makes a resolution, whether it's on January 1st, whether it's on January 8th, or whether it's on July 8th, is a person that says, the way my life is right now, I want more. The way things are going for me right now, not good enough. I want my life to go better. I don't know about you, but friends, do not settle for where you are right now. Do not believe that you can never change and that life never is going to get any better or that you're never going to be able to get that thing figured out or you're never going to get out of that behavior. No, not true. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, as a man thinketh, so is he. I like that ancient translation for this verse. As a man thinketh, so is he. Or as a woman thinketh, so is she. What's being said here? What's being said is your mind is the tip of the spear in your life. Your mind, as you think, what you think is going to make the rest of your life trajectory. So if you don't think that you can change, guess what? You won't change. If you think that you're an undisciplined person, guess what? You will be an undisciplined person. It's crazy how many of us think that in mapping the human genome that they found the discipline gene. There is no such thing as a discipline gene. Oh, I'm just not a disciplined person. Yeah, you know why you're not? Because you think that you're not. Because as a man thinks, as a woman thinks, so is she. Now, I'm wearing today, some martial art garb. To be very clear, this is not my black belt. This is Paul Korchak's black belt, part of Crossroads, got taekwondo business, great guy, and he loaned this to me. And I just got to make sure I spell it out because I've never taken a martial arts class. So anybody who has in here, anybody who's a black belt, awesome. I'm not trying to diss your commitment, what you've done. I'm not trying to pose today. But what I am doing is I'm wearing this garb because I am a different kind of black belt in all seriousness. When it comes to changing your life, I'm a ninja. Seriously. When it comes to understanding something has to change your life, like I'm really, really, really good at it. Because my life has all been about changing because my life has been awful. I've had awful things. I've had awesome, awful habits. I've had bad mindsets. And through that all, I've come to learn a lot, and I want to talk about how you take on a new mind, how you change, and there's three M's around it, three M's. M's to the mind. The first M is what I'm going to do right now. It's mentor you. For you to change, for you to have a different mindset, for you to have a different
kind of physical activity that's happening in your life, you have to have somebody who's beyond you. Or you have to have some people who are beyond you, a step beyond you. And I'm going to try to mentor you in this series. Now, unfortunately, I would love to be able to have breakfast with you, but I'm not going to be able to do that, at least not for all of us. But I can tell you some things that I've learned that come from the scriptures, because I've had to change a lot, because I've had a lot of rough spots. I used to believe that reading was stupid, that reading was dumb. Maybe that's why it took me 7 years to get a 4-year degree in college. You know? I read a lot now. I like reading, but I had to teach myself to like to read. And my mind and my abilities are the better for it. Part of why I went through college so long wasn't just because I wasn't disciplined, because I thought I didn't have the discipline gene. I'm just not a disciplined person. Yeah, if your mind thinks that, you're not going to be that. It wasn't just that. It was that I had awful writing skills, so I did an awful job in writing. Gosh, what God has enabled me to do as a writer now? Nuts. Like, you've written 3 books? What? Of course, very few people ever buy them, so maybe they're not very well written, but nonetheless, the books. I have a blog post coming out tomorrow that I'm excited about, and I tapped it away. I'll tap them away on my little smart device often, because writing gets really easy because I captured my mind and learned how to actually become a half-decent writer. I'm in somewhat shape right now, but it's not always been that way. If you were on Crossroads in 2000, 2001, you remember. I was overweight. I had chronic back problems, chronic back fatigue. I was losing alacrity. I was aging. And I took control of my mind and said, no, this is not the way I want to feel at 35 years old and going forward. I don't want that at all. And I've had permanent habits that have come in my life that enabled me to be just really, really healthy physically. Financially, I feel great about where we are financially. Great. And I can't believe I'm saying that, because we used to have so much credit card debt and payment bills and all that stuff that we had to move in my wife's dad as newlywed couple. And now for decades now, to have adequate savings in the bank to cover various things that come up, it's amazing. It's amazing. But it wasn't because, oh, I hit the lottery. It's because Lib and I, we took our minds, and we said, no, we don't want our mind to think this way. Let's control our mind, which is going to control the rest of our life. When it comes to spiritual things, Bible talks about fasting, going without food for a period of time so you can have more time to pray, more time to read. First time I tried that, I was in college. I got to 11 o'clock, and I had this throbbing headache. I think I had a headache. I've never had a headache, believe it or not. If I had one, that was the time. I just felt awful. It was like awful. And I cashed in at 11 o'clock, and the people I was supposed to be fasting with that day, they were really upset because I let them down. I was 3 hours in, and I couldn't do it. Our last corporate fast we had here at Crossroads, I'll go 5 days now without any food, and I feel great. I feel fine because I learned how to fast for multiple days on end. You can do that if you take the right process. And that's what I want to share with us today out of how to grow. Because here's what I know in terms of mentors, if you don't have someone you look to and say, that person is beyond me, then guess what? You're like everyone around you. That's where all of us are. We all perform to average, and specifically average of the people we spend time with. We're like everyone who we're with. If you're with people who are all in credit card debt and spend to zero, guess what you do? You spend to zero. If you're with people who are all Republicans, guess what you are? A Republican. If you're someone with people who are all Democrats, guess what you are? A Democrat. If you're with people who love the Ohio State Buckeyes, guess what? You're a Buckeye, because everyone else is. If you're a person who abuses alcohol, guess who you probably hang out with? People who abuse alcohol. This is the way it is. We all self-select and we norm out in our peer group, and so we need someone or some people who are ahead of us. And actually, you can be in a group where you're mentoring one another and you're pushing one another. I posted this on my Instagram account the other day, and people were trying to guess what this was. Some of you got pretty close. Others of you didn't get close at all. So we're going to talk about what this is right now. Some of you may think that these are olives. They're actually not olives for the purpose of our experiment today. Some of you are already, your mouth is watering because you would like to eat that olive right now. I know. And you look at this and you think, well, that's, what is that? You might think, well, that's a ginger root. Well, for the purpose of today, that's not a ginger root. And you might look at this, oh, that's cauliflower, right? No, it's not. That's not cauliflower for the purposes of today. What this is a way for you to understand what you are like physiologically that will enable you, it will enable you to change and to grow. These olives are actually eyeballs, and this is a brain stem. There. Hi. How are you doing? I'm doing very good. Thank you very much. This isn't just the brain stem that will be down here. This is actually known as the old brain or the reptilian brain. It's known as the old brain or the reptilian brain because this is the brain that reptiles have. It's all they have. And it's evolutionists, if you're an evolutionist, would believe that this is the very first kind of brain that some kind of human being might have had. Then there is another kind of brain, and it is the what's known as the mammalian brain or the new brain. The new brain. This is you. This is you right here. Hi, it's great to meet you. Thank you very much. It's so good to be with you this weekend. Yes, this is, and here's the important thing to understand. Right here is where your eyeballs come into this old brain. It's where your ears are, your sense of smell. This will and wants to rule your life. This is where fight or flight comes from. This is where when you have an adrenaline surge, you see something, because this reptilian brain is just immediate and instantaneous. There's no choice behind it. You just do it. And we need this old brain. We need this reptilian brain. This is the stuff that, this will happen when we lean on something that's hot. Oh, our reptile brain kicks in and we immediately come back. This is if we see somebody getting beat up. Our reptile brain constantly will push us into action and say, go and put yourself in the middle of that fight and protect somebody. This is why you might smell something and you're taken back in time 10 years. You ever had that happen? You smell. Because it immediately goes into this thing and you're not thinking, where have I smelled that smell before? It's like it's a Chevy Citation in 1983. The car my parents let me abuse when I was in high school. It just you don't even think where was it's it because it taps in here immediately. Now, when we understand that this new brain is on the reptilian brain, if we only behave according to this brain, which is really how most of us only behave. If you are completely reactionary, if you are a victim to your circumstances, if you feel like this is just the way I am, I that's the way I am, or how about this line? You got to be true to yourself. That is the worst thing you could possibly, got to be true to yourself. In other words, be a reptile. You can't monitor your urges. You can't monitor who you are. You just roll around on the ground like a lizard because you're nothing you can do. Just be true to yourself. No, mammals, specifically humans, can make decisions that override their urges. You can choose to not punch somebody in the face, even though you might want to punch somebody in the face. You can choose that. In the book of Romans chapter 12, when we understand a little bit of physiology, this passage is going to take on some new meaning. Romans 12 verse 2 says this, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Who would like to know more in 2019? The will of God for your life. Who would like to know God? I would like that. Yes, absolutely. That would be great. Well, how do we know the will of God? And if we know the will of God, what happens in our life? Well, let's see what happens. What is good, that happens. That's cool. I like more good things. Acceptable, perfect. Man, that'd be great. A good, acceptable, perfect life in 2019. Great. How does that happen? If I know the will of God. And how do I get to know the will of God? If I allow this brain to be molded by God. Your brain is the tip of the spear in your life. I can't say this enough. As your brain goes, so goes your life and my life. And something is always trying to mold your brain. The world is trying to mold our brain. That's what the world is trying to do. The world is trying to make us think like everybody else. It's shame anybody out there who doesn't think like all the rest of us. The world is trying to get us into and squeeze us into a pattern. There's two words here for change. There's the word conform, and there's the word transform. Conform and transform. Conform is the word whereby we get the word system. Conform is system. What is a system? A system is something you need to do, and you need to like conform to that system. And systems are good. Systems are fine. We have systems at Crossroads. If you got little kids, Kids Club's the best place for them. We got all kind of systems in Kids Club to help it, and it's good. We want parents to conform because that's the best place for kids to develop spiritually and for all the rest of us to be able to pay attention. It's in Kids Club. And so there's sort of a system there that's a good conformity. But if all we're doing is conforming to systems, and specifically systems that may not be systems that are in the will of God, then we're not going to go the right direction. So God wants to transform us. Transforming is a different kind of word. It's the word where we get metamorphosis. It's when you can become somebody totally different. It's where you can behave entirely different. Not behave differently, like just behavior modification, but no, you can become a new and a different person. This is true. This is great. Now I'm telling you, most people don't think this can happen because most people are only thinking like a reptile. But I'm telling you, if you start to use and control your mind and take thoughts captive, which I'll talk about in a moment, that is the beginning of your life changing, of our lives changing. I still need my life to change more. I feel like I'm a ninja in this area. Why am I a ninja? Because I've got so much practice, because I still got a heck of a lot of things that need to be changed. It just doesn't end. And the system is always the same. It starts in the mind. That's always the starting point. And it always depends on somebody being ahead of me or some group that might be coming around me that's going to help me elevate beyond crawling on the ground like a lizard, because I don't want to be a lizard. I want to elevate beyond that. Mentors, when mentors come around us, they can really help us answer the why question. Someone in our small group or a classic mentor needs to be asking us the why question. This is the second M. First is mentor. The second one is motives. Motives. What are our motives? Why are we making the resolutions we're making? Why do we want to make the change that we're making? What is our motive? Many people say, well, I want to read more this year. I'm going to read more. Okay, why? Why? Is it just a pride thing? Because you want to be able to say that you're well-read? Is it because you want to have things to talk about? Is it because you want to develop your intellect? What is the reason? If it's only, well, I just think people should read more books, so I'm going to choose a goal, and I'm going to read a book a week. That's just what I'm going to do. That may work for you. For most of us, it doesn't work that way. Change doesn't happen that way because there has to be a deeper thing of why. Why more books? I want to work out. I want to drop 10 pounds. Okay, why? Why do you want to drop 10 pounds? To look better? Okay? Why? Why? So someone will be attracted to me and get married? Okay, you're onto something now. Maybe. Maybe if you're motivated, you want to get married, you want to have a great date, that might be it. That might be the start of, okay, which by the way, is why many people in marriage gain a lot of weight the first couple of years married. A lot. We all know this, right? Because the motive is gone. Oh, now you're stuck with me. You got to have me. The motive. What is the motive? I work out pretty consistently. Why? Why is that? Well, to be clear, it definitely helps that thousands of people are going to be looking at you every weekend. There's definitely at least a hint of narcissism that helps you to get to the gym regularly, but that's really not it. What really is it is I just want to be capable. I want to be capable. I want to ride my motorcycle. When it goes down, I want to be able to pick it up. This last holiday break, the day after Thanksgiving, I shot my first deer I've ever shot. It was awesome shooting him, and he was great eating him. It was great. It was actually great eating. Whole family was eating him. He was great. So I got done with that one. I was like, I need to go get us another one. So then I had to shoot a doe. So I shot a doe. And this one, I had to pull her out of the out of the woods. And I got out of the woods, and the next couple days, my hip flexors, I was taking these baby steps because I was so sore from just pulling this doe out. I'm like, well, this sucks. I need to start doing more leg stuff. Why? Is it because I'm embarrassed by my chicken legs? They are chicken legs, by the way. I'm not really embarrassed by them, but they've been turning me just well. Now all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I see a reason I need more, because I don't want to be sore for an entire week just because I pulled a little weight out of the woods. That's my motivation. Why? You want to stop drinking. Why? Why do you want to stop drinking? Well, I'm a moral person. I like taking more. Okay, why? Is it the calories in alcohol? Is it because there's alcoholism in your family and you feel like you're playing with fire? Okay, good. Now we might be getting to something that might enable you and I to actually sustain it. This was my problem a few years ago. By the way, one of the things you do when you want to change, you have to tell people. Like if you have a New Year's resolution and you don't tell anybody, forget it. It's already over. In fact, I tell you, if you made a New Year's resolution and you haven't told anybody, I know you didn't do it. Because there is a power in accountability. There's a power in knowing that somebody else may ask. There's a power, if you will, in positive shame. There is. A couple years ago, I decided to leverage this principle and just tell the whole church, go public, that was the year I was going to learn Spanish. Have you around when I said that way back when? People, I said that and everyone's all excited. You know, for months after that, well-meaning Hispanic folks or well-speaking Spanish people come up to me after service and go, hey, hola, hola, whatever they'd say. And I'd be like, see, that's what I'd say, see. Or no, that was it. And I felt like a turd every time people come up and talk because I wasn't keeping up. I wasn't keeping up with my Rosetta Stone and Duolingo and all kinds. I wasn't keeping up. Here's the good thing. Why wasn't, and by the way, I'm just cutting the chase at the very end. I'm no further along Spanish now than I was 4 years ago. And here's the guy who said I'm a change ninja, right? But here's why I'm not. When I made that decision to do that, it had just been when I came back from Nicaragua. I just visited one of the kids that Lib and I support, feed them and educate them up through 18,000. Thousands of us here at Crossroads do that with Compassion International. We do that. Kids are thankful and they're eating and they're getting educated because of thousands of us who are doing that through Compassion International. Let's give a hand to everybody who's with Compassion on that. It's great. And I went to visit one of our kids, Rudy. And I was so bummed that I couldn't talk to him and his mom. That's when I came back and said, this is ridiculous. I think I'm going to be going to Nicaragua every year with our partnership and other things. I need to learn to speak Spanish. And then what happened was I realized I haven't been in a Spanish-speaking country since that time. And I don't live in a part of the country where a sizable population has Spanish as a first language. And that's why I stopped. I stopped because of all the things that I would grow in, that would be one thing that would never help me. I know it sounds like really anathema. Someone's like, oh, but you made a commitment. Not every commitment is worth keeping. It's not. Not every commitment is worth keeping. Simply because I committed to do Spanish. My time of learning was much more better invested in other things that I would use on a daily basis, like prayer, than learning a language that this last week, month, year, I would have never, ever used. So that was my problem. I had the wrong motivation, or at least I was misled in terms of how often I would be in a country. Now, I'm going back over to Nicaragua in several months, so I'm going to be like crash coursing, trying to regain what I have. But all I'm saying is this. You and I, we have to know why it is that we want to do, what in our mind is here? Well, I just should. I should do that. Why should you do that? I had a high school coach who said, you know, there's three kind of people in the world. The wouldas, the couldas, and the shouldas. And the shouldas are the bullshitters, he said. There's no depth to them. There's no character. Hey, let's all make a commitment 2019 not to should on ourselves. Let's not should on ourselves. We've got to have a deeper thought process than that. Maybe I should because God wants me to, because that is the absolute will of God. Lib and I, one of our resolutions is to have a date night every Thursday night. I'm saying in public right now, every Thursday night. Ask me anytime. Do it Thursday. I might not have hit one Thursday, but I'll tell you why. Why is that? We used to do it all the time. We got away from it because it was sort of a hygiene. You just should do it, and we kind of got away from it. But the last year of marriage has been one of the most difficult years of marriage we've ever had. And so the why is like, we've got to get and stay out of this funk. I love my wife. I think I have a picture of her. We just took it over Christmas time. It was great. We are on the right path right now. But I tell you what, 2018 was a ball buster for us. Utter difficulty. We don't want another 2018. Don't want that. So what date nights are there to build a sense of connection, community, that's going forward. Why is it that you want to, your mind, you have to control your mind and know in your mind why you want that to happen. To be clear, it is you. Who's doing this? Evolutionists, pure atheistic evolutionists might say, well, the brain's doing, the brain's generating this, and the brain's having the, no, my brain. I told my brain to send those. I am doing this. I'm controlling my brain. Who's doing that? How is this that? Well, your brain is sending a lot. Yeah, but before the brain, I told my brain to do this. I'm in control of my thoughts. Someone said, you can't make me do anything. I control myself. You don't control me. Well, you made me lash out in anger. No, you never make me lash out. I may get angry, but you don't make me angry. I had a momentary lapse of my reptile self. I didn't take control of that thought. Specifically, I didn't take captive that thought. This is what the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Every thought captive. So we start going, oh, I can't believe that person voted like that. They're such an idiot. All of a sudden, grab that thought. I think somebody is an idiot because they voted different than me. Grab it. Someone's not an idiot because they voted differently. I mean, people who have much higher IQs than I do voted differently than me. They're not an idiot. They're seeing something different than I don't see. They're not. I take that thought captive. Or like, oh, gosh, I hate that person. I can't. Capture that thought. Of course, a few of us would say that. We think it all the time. We rarely say it. Grab that thought. Oh, Ephesians chapter 2 says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against every power and principality in the heavenly realms that sets itself against God. So if it bleeds and it breathes, it's not my enemy. My struggle isn't against flesh and blood. There's a different thing. There's a world. There's a spiritual forces that are out here that are trying to capture my mind. They're trying, and for many of us, they've just about captured all of it. And we may be very intelligent people. Knowing the will of God is not about intelligence necessarily. Having a life of power is about more than IQ, though. And we take captive of these thoughts and we say, is that, okay, what do I want to do with that thought? What do I want? Should I kick in Reptile Man on that thought? Sometimes, yes, you should. Yes, you should. Go, 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 go. But we take captive because there are forces and opinions out here. They're trying to capture our brain and to immobilize our life. Ran across this in Psychology Today. It says this: given that there have been 10 million years of evolution developing our neocortex, our neomammalian brain, why does it seem to fail so often in normal individuals? Why do we so often hear about politicians and celebrities acting on their primitive drives and urges and committing horrendous acts? The answer is one that any small child can give you. We all can make a choice. A choice as to whether we are going to give in to the primitive urges and desires of our reptilian brain or instead use the neocortex to control them. This article is only partly true. It's not just allow our neocortex to control the reptile brain. It's also controlling our neocortex because something is controlling our neocortex. And it's either God or it's his enemy. And we choose which of those it will be. Third M and final M I'll look at. And while we do this one, we're going to have people coming down the aisles, and they're going to give all of us one of these that we're going to use in an exercise in just a moment. But I'll keep talking as they pass these out. The third M is momentum. Momentum. We need mentors. We need to really know what our motives is. Not motivation like rah, 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 I'm happy, happy, happy. No, the deep motive for why we want the change in our life. And then we need to build momentum. If you've ever bench pressed before, what is easier? To start bench pressing with the weight here or to start with the weight here? Which is easier? Up, right, exactly right. Why is that? Because you would think, well, it shouldn't be because it's less distance here than it is that distance. What's the reason? It's all about momentum. You have momentum working with you. You can take a 2x4 and put it inside of an old-fashioned steam locomotive engine, put a 2x4 in front of it, and then start the engine up, and it will not be able to get over or push through that 2x4. But you get that same steam locomotive engine worked up and going, and it'll go through a concrete wall. What's the difference? Momentum. Momentum. Part of why we get so frustrated is with our resolutions or commitments is we don't solve many of them or finish many of them because we didn't have momentum. You can't say, okay, the first week of January, I'm going to lose 5 pounds. Don't say that. Okay, I'm gonna go work out 5 days a week starting now. You don't. Do like January 1, I'm gonna do a half mile the first week of January, walking. Great. If you haven't walked a half mile, you did a half mile more than you did the week before. Then you start building on that. Okay, I'm gonna do 2 miles walking twice a week. Okay, I'm gonna now start pushing up. And what do you know? You start to listen to your mind because as you set these goals in your mind, you now start to obey yourself. You realize, hey, I'm controlling my mind. I said 2 weeks in a row now that I was going to walk a half mile, and I did. I bet I could do 5 push-ups today. And you do that, and then you build momentum. Build the ability to grow. This is how God works with spiritual growth. God doesn't come in and poof, all of a sudden everything is perfect for us. What God does is he goes through an organic process of growing our prayer life, of growing our awareness of the Bible. Why do I read the Bible? What's the why? Go back to what is the drive? I read the Bible not because a good pastor should. I read the Bible because I have so much forces out here trying to control my brain. I need the truth of God to actually control my brain. I need to counteract all the messages I get that are not true, unhealthy. That's why I continue to read the Bible, even though I've read it multiple times cover to cover. It's because I need that in my mind. And now, doing as long as I have, I just have momentum. I mean, knocking off chapters is easy now because I have momentum. It was difficult when I was 16 years old. Momentum. Warren Buffett, pretty successful guy, maybe the most impressive investor in American history. His company that he's a CEO of, Berkshire Hathaway, a share of stock is going for $300,000 a share. Yeah, I won't be buying a share of that stock anytime soon. He says this. He says, read 500 pages like this every day. That's how knowledge works. It builds up like compound interest. All of you can do it, but I guarantee not many of you will do it. You're right, Warren Buffett. I will not read 500 pages a day. I will not. How is he reading 500 pages a day? He built momentum up in doing it, and he knows the why for it. Now, I don't read 500 pages a week, a day. I don't read 500 pages a week. I read 500 pages a month if we also count in Audible books I listen to. But momentum is important. He built. He didn't just start that way. He started the momentum process. Friends, you and I can be different people. You can. God has created you to grow. He's created you to be not a mammal, not a reptile. He's created you to be a person created in the image of God with capacities that you haven't even tapped into. You have the ability to change things about you that no one else can change. But you can under the guidance and power of God. This is amazing truth. And I want to give you and I the opportunity to mentor ourselves right now. I want you to write yourself, mentor yourself a letter in the closing moments of our time that you were going to send to you. Make sure you put your address on here. If you fill this out and you address it, when you leave a Crossroads site today or take a look at the directions on the bottom of the screen, we will pay for the stamp and we will send it to you. Maybe you wanna encourage yourself right now, like, hey, hang in there on that goal, keep going. Maybe you wanna write to yourself, hey, remember that I heard in church today that da 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 da, and that needs to be the right word for you. Maybe it's just a reminder, like tell your wife that you love her and are thankful for her. I promise you, I'll need to hear that a few weeks or a few months from now. Maybe you want to write to yourself something you heard today that you know you need to be reminded of. Maybe, I don't know what it is, write yourself something right now. Mentor yourself right now while you have a sense of spiritual sanity. And then we will send that to you. And allow you to get a shot of encouragement. I know God wants big things for you in 2018. I know that he wants it in 2019. God's not done with you. There is a will that God has for your life in 2019. But we control our life. He will not treat us like robots. We're going to talk next week more about how you capture your mind. And especially and specifically for those of us who may be struggling with some form of depression, we're going to be tapping into some of the keys to that. So let me pray for us before we head out of here. God, thank you for giving us brains that aren't highly evolved. They're beautifully created. They're beautifully created to do things that we haven't yet done, but we have capacities because you've blessed us with those. So God, if we have anything that we've heard in here today that we know needs to follow through on, just bolt that to our brain, God, and help us to work on that thing and just forget all the previous failures. Today is a new day. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us. I truly believe that God has great things in store for you this year, and a new mind is just the beginning of it. And so be sure to get into the Crossroads app this week, start spending some more regular time with God, testing that out, and we'll see you back next week for week 2 of the new mind.